Welcome to the second season of No More Silence, a podcast where young voices take the mic.
Each month, we sit down with high school and college students, local educators, and community leaders from Toledo to share real stories, raw emotions, and honest conversations about life, community, and everything in between. No More Silence hopes to highlight the change makers in our community. And in every episode, you'll hear real stories of grief, healing, and resilience from our high school students who are speaking up about the pain, the loss, and the strength it takes to move forward.
These aren't just stories. They're truths that matter. This is more than a podcast. It's a space to be heard. It's a space to be human. My name is Amanda Hatton, and I'm a graduate student in public health at the University of Toledo, and I am a guest host of the podcast for fall semester. What interests me the most about the podcast is hearing different perspectives and lived experiences from students in the community.
And my name is Shaima Abdelhalim, and I am an undergraduate student in public health and pre-med at the University of Toledo. I am looking forward to being one of the guest hosts of the podcast for the fall semester. What interests me about the podcast is the opportunity to engage with students and community leaders to discuss a wide range of interesting topics.
This will be the 10th year for Fearless Writers, bringing local high school and university students together to write with and learn from each other about important social justice issues. Fearless Writers is a creative community that allows for free expression, nurtures confidence in voice, and supports collaborative, youth-led research in an effort to counter discrimination and implicit bias. We are grateful for our partnership with WGTE that allows us to share the writing and discussions from Fearless Writers.
This is the first episode of Season 2. Stay calm and just listen.
We are hearing from adolescents from the summer program of the Boys and Girls Club as a special expansion of Fearless Writers. This summer, we have responded to writing prompts that reflect on the barriers to adult and youth understanding and imagine pathways toward adult and youth connection. Today, we have Ariana, Gilbert, Jalen, Jeremiah, Bryson, Travis, Tyrese, Holly, and Selena discussing their thoughts on a variety of prompts to better understand ways that adults and youth misunderstand each other and ways that they could better connect.
My name is Ariana. I'm 15, going into my sophomore year at Lincoln High School.
So what kind of guide would you create to better connect parents and children?
I will find a hobby that we can both enjoy, both like, or sports that they like. Sometimes I feel, you know, parents don't understand kids as much as they should because they feel our feelings are invalidated because, you know, our age. So like when me and my mom get into arguments, she tries to invalidate me by saying I'm still a kid, I'm the oldest sibling, and I should get used to a hardship I go through because of the oldest sibling dynamic that most people put on us. Even though she, you know, she went through this oldest sibling dynamic and the third parent hardship. And she's just like me, but still excludes how I feel because I'm a kid.
What adult in your life is the best listener?
I would feel as if that's my dad, because even though as like when he was a kid, he never really had someone to lean on. He always he had bad influences, like street stuff like that, but he still sits and tries to understand. Even though sometimes he'll sit there and think until he can find something or a mutual agreement, or he'll get mad, leave, and then come back, apologize, and try to sort it out.
So if you ask your parent one question and you would not be judged or misunderstood, what would you ask?
If I could ask my parents one question, I think it would be, why haven't you tried to break the oncoming generational trauma? They often make me do things they did as kids that made them view their parents differently or dislike them. They also see communication as disrespect, which is odd because they tell me time and time again how they couldn't communicate when they really wanted to. I feel, you know, because none of us has a book how to be a parent or how to be a child, and it could be hard for both of us. I definitely feel communicating is very hard because our parents grew up, you know, with a strict system. Don't talk back, or, you know, they would be punished by it. So us growing up and trying to break that cycle, it can be hard on us and them because they never really got to do it themselves, so they may see it as disrespect. So to combat that, we may have to, you know, let them have it at first and try to talk to them when they're more level-headed and, you know, when we're in a playful mood, because they never really had the experience to talk to their parents as much as we try to talk to them now. So they don't see it the way that we do, how, you know, we might see it as communication, but they might see it as disrespect because they just truly never had that chance to do it with some of their parents.
And then with Jaylen, I'm going to 8th grade and I go to Reynolds Elementary.
What kind of guide would you create to better connect parents and children?
Take them places, have important talks with them, buy them some things, and then just at the end of the day, just be a good parent. When they listen to them, when they talk to you about stuff.
What adult in your life is the best listener?
Maybe my auntie. Yeah, maybe my best. Because she always listens whenever you do. Because if you get in trouble, she always listens to what you have to say instead of just talking over you. So maybe yeah, just my auntie.
My name is Gilbert. I'm going into the 8th grade, and I go to Western Toledo Preparatory Academy.
What kind of guide would you create to better connect parents and children?
Listen to what they are trying to tell you. Try to explain in a way they will understand, and then be calm, but also don't just try to put what you think is right. You gotta also try to come to a mutual agreement.
What adult in your life is the best listener?
My brother-in-law, because even though my mom doesn't always listen to me or my other siblings don't always listen to me, he's always there for me. Because my brother will accuse me of things, but then there's my brother, the other brother there, who will always, he'll like, stick up for me. He sees my perspective.
So how would your life be if you were your parent for one day?
If I was my mom for a day, I would have it a rule that everyone had to help out around the house, because most of the time it's just me and my mom. My mom's getting too old to have to do everything herself, and it's mostly adults in our house, so we should have to have a rule to where everyone has to help out.
What is a time when an adult did not understand you?
So one time that my mom said that it was just, it's okay, it's not that serious, was when we lost our first round in a basketball tournament, and that was my first time playing for the team that year, so it made me feel like she really didn't care.
My name is Jeremiah. I'm going to the 10th grade and I go to Toledo Early College.
What do you think parents need to focus more on with their children?
Parents need to focus more on their children's mental health rather than grades or when they're going to get a job or relationships. Parents just want to make their child successful, but how are they going to make it in life if they don't have a good mental support system? Society has proven that most mental disorders are developed from neglect and rejection. Most disorders like BPD, depression, and sometimes split personalities.
So, if you woke up one day as one of your parents, what rule would you create?
My first rule would be always come to me if there's a problem at home, school, or at work, any problem at all. And for the second one, it was, what does my parents' schedule look like a day to day? So I put my mom, she goes to work for 11 hours. Then sometimes she goes to the store and then she comes home and cooks for us if she needed to cook. Then she takes a shower and sleeps.
My name is Bryson Bailey. I'm in 10th grade.
So what kind of guide would you create to better connect parents and children?
So it's a three-step guide for me. I have step one, address the issue. It matters for the parent to understand the issues that the kids are going through. Step two, help them come up with solutions. It will show them that you truly care about the situation that they're going through and you're there to help them. Number three, ask them if they understand the solution that you came up with. They sometimes need help understanding the solution.
Okay, so what would you respond if an adult told you that you could never understand mental health issues because you are too young?
you're never too young to have mental issues. Everybody has problems going through different things in their lives.
My name is Travis King. I'm 14 years old and I go to St. John's.
Why is mental health important?
Mental health isn't a topic that should be talked about because it's a very crucial part in your life. Many people try to bottle up things that have happened in their lives, which can ultimately lead to negative things for your mental health.
My name is Holly. I'm 15.
Why is there violence?
Violence can often be caused within teens due to jealousy, arguments, or simply because someone doesn't like a certain person. I believe that violence is a very immature and unnecessary way to resolve problems because it proves that you're unable to make amends with people in a mature manner. Violence can also have long-term effects, for example, broken bones and scars, which also adds to my point why I believe violence is an unnecessary way to solve problems.
All right, my name is Tyrese Blue. I'm 17 years old and I graduated from Toledo Early College High School.
How does adultism impact you?
That's something that I face, growing up and in my day-to-day life. So a lot of times I feel like when we speak to adults, we're looked down upon. Just because we're young, a lot of times they don't think that we're as well educated as them. Especially being a young Black man or a person of color, they already see us in an inferior light. So when we are put in those situations, it's kind of difficult for us to shine through when we already have that expectation set upon us. So I feel like it's important that we give everyone a fair shot, no matter where they come from or how they're raised, so that we can all, you know, reach our full potential in whatever endeavors that we strive in.
My name is Selena Winfrey-White. I am 18 years old and I graduated from Central Catholic High School.
Can you discuss a time when you needed support and it wasn't there?
So this happened in middle school a little while ago, but when I was like 11, 12, my mom was diagnosed with cancer and my dad had passed away. And honestly, I had nobody to talk to and I feel like everybody should be heard in a different type of way, no matter if you're talking to your friends, a therapist, a parent, family, friend. I feel like everybody is meant to be heard. And I also feel like if you're going through stuff, please don't hold on to something like that, because honestly, the more you hold on to things, the more you will grieve and just feel like more stressed in life. And I personally went to a therapist and it helped, and you should always be willing to talk to somebody, because no matter what, there's always going to be somebody that's there for you. Like, even if you feel like you're not heard, you are heard, trust. Like at the Boys and Girls Club where I currently work at, kids will talk to me about things and I hear them. And I'm going to be majoring in law. I want to be a family lawyer and I want to be there for the kids. That a voice is always heard. So I also feel like there's a lot of stereotypes within the world. Like girls will look at you and be like, oh, I didn't even know you went through that. So recently, well, not recently, but like when I was still in school, we had went to a camp and it was like an open mic where we talk about things that we went through that nobody would know. And a lot of my classmates, they were like, oh my God, I really didn't even know that happened to you. And it just made me like break down in tears, because it's like I just intake so much, and I know a lot of people intake so much, and hearing everybody else's story, it just made me realize that I'm not the only one that go through things, and you're not the only one that go through things. So don't ever feel like you're left out or alone in the world because you're going through stuff.
Joining us today, we have Sarah from NAMI on the podcast.
Hi, I'm Sarah Smitley. I work for NAMI of Greater Toledo. I am the family navigator. My job is to help individuals and families navigate the systems dealing with mental health issues. I provide support and help find resources to those in need.
So how can parents support children facing adversity, sadness, grief, and anger when all parents want is for their children to be happy and stress-free?
As parents, it can be very hard to watch our child hurt. And it's even harder for us to feel powerless on how to help them. But our role as a parent is not to erase their pain. It's for us to sit with them in it. We want to start by listening without judgment or immediate solutions. Stay calm and offer more healing than advice. Another thing we can do is that we can validate their feelings. We can say things like, "It sounds really hard to feel that way, but I'm here for you." We want to help our children process their emotions in a safe space where they feel like they are heard. And sometimes just the presence of us being there is even more powerful than trying to fix it. We want to say things like, "I don't have all the answers, but I'm here for you, and we're going to figure this out together."
Now, what do you see as a major generational disconnect when it comes to mental health? And what is the difference between adults and kids when it comes to mental health awareness?
There's a lot of generational disconnect when it comes to mental health these days. A lot of adults were raised to just have their feelings in private, and strength meant just dealing with it on their own without any help. For today's youth, they're often looking for more of a help and a guidance than they are to fix it. We want to show them that there is strength in sharing and advocating for themselves and even asking for help. Sometimes adults think that children are too sensitive or too dramatic. And I think that that causes for children to feel unseen and misunderstood sometimes. Social media can be a big part of how our children feel and deal with things. And that's not something that we've had in past generations. And sometimes we as adults don't realize how much pressure and how much influence social media and having an on-demand world can affect our children and how they're handling what they're going through. Sometimes when adults approach a situation by, "Okay, I'm going to fix this for this. How can I fix it?" That's not often what the youth are looking for. They're looking for someone to sit with them and listen to them and just feel like they're being heard and what they have to say is important and it matters to the people who love them.
As Dr. Williamson discussed in our Trauma and Healing Part 1 episode in Season 1, parents don't want to be their children's friend and want to be in charge, but it is important that children feel comfortable going to their parents with concerns so that they can take advantage of adult experience and wisdom in serious situations that call on children to make decisions if they were an adult. Tell us your thoughts on that.
Today, with parents, building trust for their children to feel safe in coming to them can feel kind of overwhelming because we're also trying to maintain parental authority and still be seen, you know, not just as their friend. And I think that we need to realize that authority and approachability don't have to be opposites. Our kids do need structure, but they also need softness and understanding. One of the ways that I have found that can help with my children and expressing how they're feeling is asking them open-ended questions. What happened today? How was your day going? What are some things that were good and what are some things that you struggled with today? And let them know that you're being there to hear them and that you want to hear more. Ask questions. Ask about things that they say. And let them know that you're interested in what they have to say. Sometimes we also need to respect their autonomy. There's a lot with youth today. They want to be their own person. And so letting them know that, you know, I have faith that you're going to figure this out, and I'm willing to sit here with you and to talk through it and help you through this process so that they don't feel like it's all on their shoulders just to figure out on their own. And sometimes we as parents, we don't always make the best choices, and we need to own up to that and apologize if we didn't handle something correctly the first time. I try to make sure that if I make a mistake, I apologize for my mistake. and I show them that I'm taking accountability, and I'm trying to show them that there's a way that they can change decisions that weren't the best that they have made. And we want to make sure that they understand that it's okay to admit that you made a mistake and show them, I made a mistake, but this is what I'm going to do to fix it. We also want to make sure that our youth know that they can tell us anything and that our love and our support is never off of the table. When something goes wrong or they feel like they've disappointed us, we're going to help them through it, but we're going to love them and we're going to keep them safe at the same time.
So what are effective strategies that parents can use to start conversations about mental health?
Sometimes we find it hard to start a conversation with our youth about mental health. And I think that there's a lot of different tips and tools that we can use to help start a conversation. We also want to normalize that talking about our mental health is important. We talk about our body, our aches and our pains. We also need to talk about our mind. And I think starting a conversation with your child to let them know that this is all one body and every part matters also helps it be more comfortable to talk about mental health. We want to share with them our stresses and things that we are going through in an age-appropriate way. We want to let them know, like, gosh, today was really stressful, but you know, I sat down, I took a few breaths, and I really just tried to keep still for a while, and that really helped me be able to move on with my day. And also, if we normalize emotional check-ins, it becomes easier to talk about more and more in every day. How are you feeling today? Are there some things that you'd like to talk about? Are you struggling with emotion and how to convey it? Let's have a conversation about that.
So what are your thoughts on strategies to decrease stigma surrounding mental health challenges? And how can parents get more information about the impact of childhood adversity or toxic stress?
There's a lot of stigma surrounding mental health challenges, and we're always trying to decrease that stigma. And I think that we've made a lot of good strides with helping that. We find that kids see athletes and artists and leaders and people in the public talking more and more about mental health struggles that they're having. And I think that helps our youth normalize their struggles and that it's okay to talk about it. A lot of schools and youth organizations today have integrated a lot of mental wellness in everyday conversations, trying to make it less of a taboo topic. One of the things that NAMI does is we have a family to family and ending the silence program that we help families understand that they're not alone and that speaking out and talking provides a lot of strength to them and their loved ones.
My name is Ms. Shay. I am the teen instructor here at the Boys and Girls Club, and I wrote a poem about my childhood called How to Crush a Diamond. It says, growing up, I always thought I was meant to glow, meant to shine, but the shine was turned into nothing but heavy, crucial cries. Walking around with dark, heavy brown eyes, I just knew I had to walk the earth as a disguise. With weeping feet, weeping eyes, all I wanted was for mommy and daddy to know that their little girl felt like she was dying on the inside. Growing up feeling so divided, so abided, denied and misguided for life to later be collided and undecided, I'm now feeling like I'm subdivided while all being unprovided. Exposed to things my poor little brown ears shouldn't have heard, poor little brown eyes shouldn't have seen, only started to become my reality because nobody ever wanted me. Desperate and vulnerable for attention and love, I became trapped in the dark world that made me uncomfortable but also made me hurl. All I wanted was to be a precious, valued, beautiful little girl. Growing up feeling worthless, feeling like I had no purpose, allowing people to do whatever, I knew I needed some sort of justice. Somebody loved me, somebody saved me. Life is eating me up so drastically. What am I supposed to do when everyone around me has left me? Forced to turn to things that will later ruin me, asking God to forgive me and show me my destiny. Letting people mistreat my mind, body, soul, and heart started turning cold. Suffering from different abuse, I knew my glow had no more use. So what is this poor little girl supposed to do? so fragile, so weak. It was easy for me to fall victim to the streets. God save me, please. Society has crushed the diamond I was destined to be.
I'm Wendy Eastler. I'm from the Boys and Girls Club, specifically the Teen Club, James A. Huber Teen Center.
Can you describe a time when you really connected with teens?
I would say a time when I really connected with teenagers would be, I had a group of teenagers that were in my office, and we just started discussing sports and how much the sports guys were making. And we ended up turning it into a conversation that we took into the library, where we discussed savings and realistically looking at how much they make per year and what that looks like as an adult. And I feel as though that really connected with them, because they said, boy, Miss Wendy, I wish we could have this kind of conversation more often. Just an intimate conversation between like 5 or 6 teens to ask real questions about what they really want to know when they get ready to graduate.
Now, what are the biggest challenges for teens today?
I would say the biggest challenges for teenagers right now is people who already prejudge them because they're teenagers. Not all teenagers act the same. Many of them are really goal-oriented teenagers. They just don't know it yet. And me, as a club director over a teen center, I poke at them to get them to establish their goals and start working towards their goals, and also get rid of the myths that they have set up for themselves that also cause challenges.
What are new ways you can connect with teens in your work?
I would say new ways that I connect with teens in my club is I get to know them. I get to know them on an individual basis. So it's not a group of teenagers and they all do this, that, and the other. It is this teenager enjoys doing this. This teenager enjoys doing this. So when they come to my office, I'm talking to them about what they are going through and or what they would like to talk about. And this makes me a safe space for them to come back to when they are going through challenges, when they do have some ideals about things, and I can make an influence on changing how they feel about something, especially when they get ready to adult. My biggest concern for them is them getting ready to adult.
What do you wish the teens you worked with better understood about adults?
I wish that teenagers better understood that no matter how adults interact with them, we all care about them. It's just the way we show caring looks different. Just the way that they show how they feel looks different for teenagers. So if an adult is yelling at you, it's not because they don't like you. It's because they're concerned and their anxiety for you is coming out in their voice. And they really want to instill something before you graduate, walk across that stage, and head into adulting. They want to make an impact.
So what is the biggest challenge of being a parent today? And what is the biggest joy of being a parent today?
I would say the biggest challenge for parents today would be social media. I know when I attended a parenting session a while ago, and they mentioned that if we don't have a spot or have a voice in our teens' lives, social media will, their friends will, and that voice will be bigger than our voice. Right now, I think the voice of social media is bigger than the parents' voice, which I think is sad, because parents do have a lot to instill into their kids, no matter what kind of adult that is. And the biggest joy of being a parent is watching them grow up. That same conference that I went to about parenting, it was a great phrase that was said that parents are working their way out of a job, which means that we're raising kids to need us until we get to a point where we're raising them to not need us. And I know that sounds bad, but it's a joy when you see your kids succeeding and living life and coming back to share with you what they've experienced. I know that firsthand because I have 2 girls, both adults, one getting ready to have a baby.
My name is Heather Cleary. I'm a social work professor at the University of Toledo, and I'm a founding member of a mentoring program called Fearless Writers that has served youth in Toledo. It will be 10 years this spring. I am also a mother of two.
Can you describe a time when you really connected with teens?
I get the privilege with connecting with teens every week during the school year and this summer with the Show and Rock Family Club, Boys and Girls Club. Teens are at a particularly observant time in life and are highly marketed to. They are very aware of cultural shifts and are looking to adults, their friends, and the media to decide what kind of adult they want to be. I have learned a lot from simply listening to teens. They are a knowledge resource that gets dismissed as too young to be wise.
What are the biggest challenges for teens today?
Biggest challenge to teens is healing from the traumas associated with COVID-19. The ripple continues to impact them in how they socialize, their mental health, and the economic consequences are still haunting families. High levels of family stress are, in my opinion, one of the biggest challenges in that youth are having to cope with those high levels of stress.
What are new ways you can connect with teens in your work?
I connect with teens by spending quality time with them, where they get to express themselves without censor. Listening and respecting teens has been key to connecting with them. I also do my best to be me with all of my adult faults and don't pretend to be cool or in the know because I don't know. And that authenticity is respected.
What do you wish the teens you worked with better understood about adults?
Teens can be brutal at times, forgetting that adults were teens once. Adults are human and also like to belong and be respected.
So what is the biggest challenge of being a parent today? And what is the biggest joy of being a parent today?
The biggest challenge of being a parent is keeping up with social media and how young people get information. It is a hard time economically for young adults, and I often wonder how can parents best support in these very difficult economic times. The biggest joy of being a parent is learning about acceptance of difference and the importance of belonging. That is a huge value of my kids' cohort, as well as their openness to mental health support, which is the opposite of my parents, who felt mental health struggle should be hidden. I think young people can be proud of the social change they have accomplished and know their voices are powerful.
We would like to thank WGTE and our producer, Chris Pfeiffer, for the opportunity to share our stories. Thank you to the Boys and Girls Club of America and Dominga Grace, the youth writers of Fearless Writers, and NAMI of Greater Toledo. This episode would not be possible without the support of Dr. Heather Cleary from the Social Work Program at the University of Toledo.
In episode 2, we will hear from the Monarch Grief Center about the importance of the memorial process to grief. This episode will be dedicated to those that lost loved ones to gun violence in Toledo over the 4th of July weekend.
Be sure to check out the No More Silence episodes at wgte.org/nomoresilence.
WGTE. Voices around us.